fundamental church has always been out of step with the world. That's what's wrong today, folks trying to get back in step with them. Jeremiah says, let's look for the old paths and walk in the good way. Good to have Brother Collins with us this week. He's my friend, and I love him, and he's going to come and minister God's word to us once again tonight. God bless him.
Thank you, Pastor.
Good evening.
Amen.
Good. I hope that warmed you up just a little bit. I won't have any problems tonight as far as the weather is concerned. I put on a winter necktie. That'll take care of me. I don't know what you're going to do about yourself. I just feel sorry for these fellows from Honduras. I tell you, you folks are here halfway between North and South in Maryland. You can kind of stand it, but these fellows from Honduras, I know they're hurting. This weather a little bit cool. But we're delighted to be here. It's been a good week. I have really appreciated the opportunity to be here. It's always been good through the years to come to Maranatha and work with our dear brother Dickerson. And we seem like a part of this ministry from being here so many times and from the early days. So it's just good to be back again. And then the last few times we've been here, we've had the privilege to fellowship with the college students, eating with them three times a day. And that's been a real blessing. I've never seen a group in my life that was so easy to tease. And they take it well. At least I hope they do. But it's been a joy to be here. Helen and I deeply appreciate all that you've done to make it a very, very pleasant stay for us. I was rebuked last night for not mentioning Helen. Some folks had been listening to the radio and was in the service last night for the first time and said they kept wondering if Helen was here. So, yes, Helen is here. And she hasn't been into the forefront or been recognized, and I've been negligent to even recognize her, but she's here. In fact, where I am, she'll be. She says that she comes along to take care of me, but that's really not the whole reason. The reason is I'm getting so good looking. She's kind of nervous about me a little bit. Well, now, don't laugh. Just about everybody I've been meeting that I haven't seen in a while say to me, you sure are looking good. And you turn that around, it means you sure are good looking. You know, there are four stages of life. Youth, middle age, old age, and you sure are looking good. That's four stages of life. And I've reached that stage where everybody says, you sure are looking good. And I hope the Lord will come before I get to the last stage. The last stage is, don't he look natural? I don't expect that stage to happen. I believe the Lord's coming soon, don't you? But let me repeat again, we do appreciate the love offering. We'll try our very best to use it carefully to keep us going in the work of the Lord, keep us traveling, and pay our bills and keep us on the road. And the ministry of radio that we have to do at home, we're at home now more than normal, more than we have been in the past, because we're doing our radio program a little bit differently. And we have to spend about 10 days at home every month with the radio ministry in order to get it accomplished and get it done. And that takes us out of meetings, except for about 2 weeks out of a month. And so we deeply appreciate the love offering. It'll help us in those off weeks and that we're not away in meetings. We appreciate that, and may the Lord bless you for it. We have
pastor didn't mention the preachers tonight, but I know that we have at least one. How many pastors, evangelists, missionaries do we have tonight? I want to ask you to stand. Just Brother Bill Winstead, it's always good to see Brother Bill. We have just to raise your hand there. Brother Hollingshead from the Lighted Pathway Baptist Church. I bet you've never heard of that before, have you? The Lighted Pathway. Sounds like a good name. Amen. I'm going to be with Brother Hollingshead over there in the month of October in work. How many years you've been there now? 5 years. It's a new work, and we're looking forward to working with these folks over there. And we've got Brother Persinger's here tonight. I shouldn't even start mentioning him because you're going to miss somebody. You'll do that over time. But we are delighted to have you here tonight and ask that you'll pray. Now, if you'll pray for me, that I can preach fast and that you'll listen fast, I'll try to get through before you get too chilled, before you get too cold tonight. I do hope that you'll take the rest of those books back there tonight. I don't want to have to carry any of them away from here. I've got two more meetings, and I didn't have faith enough to bring enough for the other two meetings. They're almost all gone. They have plenty in Greenville, but if you'd like one of those, we've just finished the book and got it out on 12 serious mistakes in soul winning, quote, unquote, soul winning. It's a warning to those who would like to be a witness for Christ and like to reach men with the gospel of Jesus Christ that they follow the Bible plan of witnessing for Christ. I think it can be a help to you. There's some instructions there as to how to draw the net. When you bring a person to the point of you realize they're under conviction, there are some suggestions, some illustrations, some things that might help along those lines. If you're interesting, and all of that helps our radio ministry. Now, if you'll open your Bible tonight and look with me at the Gospel of John, I'm going to begin reading with some verses in chapter 18, the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 38. The Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, that you were willing for Jesus to come, for him as God to become man, to take the body of man that you gave him through the Virgin Mary, and then take that literal body, all man yet all God, to the cruel cross, and there on the cross pay the penalty for the sins of mankind. Thank you for Jesus tonight. Now, Lord, I pray that as we do our very best to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in these next moments, that you'll anoint anew and afresh with thy Holy Spirit, that thy will shall be done in every heart and in every life in this congregation tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do. We do pray, Father, should there be one in our midst this evening, and it's certainly not an impossibility. There could easily be one or two or more here tonight that's never yet trusted Jesus as their Savior. They're on the road to an eternal hell. And Father, we love them, and you love them, and we don't want to see them go to hell. And I pray that you'll bring deep conviction by thy Holy Spirit, and that you'll speak in a very special way tonight to their heart. And then for that Christian that might have grown cold and indifferent and careless about the things of God, and taking for granted the fellowship that they ought to have with God, I pray you'll stir and move their hearts tonight. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Now, some of you brethren will pull down the curtains on the side to knock the breeze out. Oh, that's right, this isn't a tent, is it? I'm used to tents. Well, we've got a cool light, we could pull the curtains down and knock the breeze out. I thank the Lord for the passage of Scripture tonight, and I think you've already, some of you have heard me preach from this passage of Scripture. I'm sure there are a number of you that have, and it's a very favorite passage of Scripture of mine, and I think you have already noticed, even if you've never heard me preach from this passage or these passages, you've already discovered what I'm going to preach about tonight, because I emphasized as I read the three times that Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Three distinct, separate times. Not just one time, but three times Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." As I was reading this today and meditating upon it and thinking about it and praying over it, I began to notice how he was treated. Pilate would come out and say there's nothing wrong with him. Pilate was coming out and say there's no fault in him. As far as Pilate was concerned, he was a perfect man. And yet he was beaten. The crown of thorns was put on him already. The purple robe and mockery was placed upon him. And he was being laughed at and made fun of. And they were crying. The crowd was crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then Pilate said, "Well, now, here's Barabbas. Let me give you Jesus and crucify Barabbas instead of him." And they said, "We don't want that. Turn that murderer Barabbas loose. Turn that insurrectionist loose. Turn that old thief time," Pilate was saying, trying to clear his own conscience. "I don't find anything wrong with him. I don't find any fault with him." Now, for just a moment, look with me, if you will, at Pilate. He was a Roman. He was a Roman procurator. We might say he was a Roman, what would you call him, a Roman governor of some kind over the area of Palestine. Caesar at that time had control of most of the known world, and he would have those in far-flung places from Rome controlled by men of his own selection. And Pilate had been selected to be the procurator or the ruler over that particular area, Jerusalem and all of Palestine. So he was a political leader. And if he had anything like the kind of a political mind that our present day political leaders have, then his thoughts, 99 and 44 100% of the time, was on how can I better my political position. Now, I made an accusation there. I hope you got it. Most of our political leaders today are concerned about their political situation, their own personal aggrandizement, their own staying in office. Now, that's what they're thinking about. You say, "Preacher, now we've got some good men." Yes, we have. I hope I meet some of them sometime in a political situation. Now, we've got some good men. And I appreciate some of the good men that we have. But I don't know that I have found any of them that I have not been able to determine somewhere along the line that they were influenced by their political situation. They wanted the votes of the people, and therefore they did what they thought would bring them more votes. Now, there have been some men, and still are some men in our government, that try to do the right thing, whether they're politically motivated or not.
But I don't think since Pilate didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew nothing about the Bible, he knew nothing about the God of Israel, except what he had heard and studied to prepare himself to rule over Israel. And he certainly didn't love the God of Israel, he didn't care anything about the God of righteousness. If you ever travel to Rome, and any of the areas of Rome and Greece particularly, you will find that in those days, in those days around the time the Lord Jesus lived on this earth, there were very, very wicked and very sensual-minded people. The statues that they made never had clothes on them, which shows you what they were thinking about and how they thought in those days. And you say, well, that's just art. No, that's just pornography. That's all that is. It's not art. That's pornography. And so Pilate was evidently that kind of a man, a political leader. Now, he had gotten his commission from Caesar, and it would have been to his advantage politically if he had said, take this man and crucify him, because you have told me that he said, I am the king. In fact, he even talked to himself about being a king. And he said, now, if he had done normal things, he would have said, let's kill him. Let me send a message to Caesar that I have killed and crucified a man that was trying to take over the government here against Caesar. And Caesar would have said, you are a good man, you are a good governor, you are a good procurator, I'd like to advance you your salary, I'd like to advance you to a higher position. It was in his political interest to crucify Jesus and to find something wrong with him. But in spite of that, three times he came out and said, I find no fault in him. Three distinct times. And you say, well, preacher, what is the reason that he said and had to say, I find no fault in him? Because there is no fault to be found in him. He is perfect, amen? He was perfect. He never sinned. He could not sin. He was God in human flesh. And however anyone may try, however anyone may lie to try to find fault in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no fault to be found in him. Now, I would not have a sermon, probably, from this, if one of the others that knew the Lord Jesus Christ had said this. If this had been Mary Magdalene saying, I find no fault in him, I would have probably just read right past that, because I expect her to say, I find no fault in Jesus. He had cast seven demons out of her. My, what a terrible thing. I've met a few folks. Now, I don't believe that Christians can be demon-possessed. I believe they can be demon-oppressed. And I think, I'll be honest with you, I'll just bare my heart before you tonight. I don't think a lot of the accounts of demon possession that you hear has any reality in it. I don't think there's a lot of it. There is some of it, but I don't think it's all that. But at any rate, I have seen in my lifetime of soon, I shouldn't be telling my age because I know I don't look it, but in my lifetime, I'll soon be 80 years. If I live till December the 7th, I'll be 80 years old. And in my whole lifetime, I think I have seen one person that I believe that I could actually feel like, from the reading of the Bible and from confronting and being around this person, was actually indwelt by and controlled by a demon or demons. Now, you may have seen others. I don't know. I've seen one, and I don't have time to tell you that story. But if only one demon was in that man that I saw, caused him to do what he did, say what he said, act like he acted, then think of seven demons being in a body controlling it, maybe each one of them fighting for more control than the other. What a horrible condition Mary Magdalene must have been in. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came along. She trusted him as Savior, and that's all you can do to get the demons out. You can't call in Benny Hinn to get it done. You just can't do that. And she trusted him as her Savior and as her Lord, and the Holy Spirit and the demons can't live in the same body. And he cast out the seven demons. Can you imagine the peace and the tranquility and the joy and the overflowing contentment in her soul when those demons were gone, and there is Jesus who had cast them out? She could never find any fault with him. I would expect that. You would expect that. So we would probably have read right on over it if it had been even Peter, who, as I said the other night, had foot and mouth disease. He's always opening his mouth and putting his foot in it, you know. But even if Peter had said, I find no fault in him. And then I think about the time the Lord went by the Sea of Galilee and called Peter and said, come on, I want to make you a fisher of men. You can catch those fish out there from the sea, and men will eat them, and it will nourish their bodies. And then, of course, eventually those bodies go back into disintegration. But I want you to come and catch some fish that can last forever and forever and forever in the kingdom of God. Old Peter said, yes, I'll come. And he trusted the Lord Jesus and went with him and gave us some books of the Bible and was a great leader in the early church. If he had stood up and said, I find no fault in him, I wouldn't give him that a whole lot of thought. And, of course, we could go right down the line. How about the ten lepers? Now, about the ten lepers, he healed other lepers, but the ten particularly, one of them came back and thanked him. But the other nine were healed, and the other nine, I'm sure, would never have found any fault in him. They may have been so concerned about other things that they didn't think to come back to thank him. We got a lot of Christians that way today. But at least they wouldn't stand up and say, why, this man is not God. This man is an imposter. This man is illegitimate. This man is no good. This man is an insurrectionist. They wouldn't say that at all. He'd heal them from their leprosy, from being out there isolated and have no contact with their family or with society. And then all of a sudden, all they had to do was just go to the priest and show that it was gone. And then they could go back to their families and live their life again. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. What a wonderful healer he is. And they wouldn't have said, I find no fault in him. I think about the blind man in John chapter 9, who hadn't been able to see, and all of a sudden he was able to see. Amen. Think of that. Brother Bill, you were able to see, and then you got to where you couldn't. This fellow never could and got to where he could see. I tell you, it's a wonderful miracle. He certainly wouldn't have found anything wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ or any fault with him. And, of course, Mary Magdalene. Mary, his mother, said that. We could go on and on to others, but you can get